Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
It's so wonderful to be with you all, getting a chance to preach with you and to pray with you and to fellowship with you and to eat with you. You know, if you've done worship in church at St. Mary's, you know that on a Sunday, we have church, and then afterwards we eat. And so a lot of times, sometimes people will come to me, especially visitors, and they'll say, Father Evan, you know, why is it that you preach so short? And I say, well, that's because I'm the one standing in between people and food. But you see, it's a different situation. We've eaten already, so I can have it all here all night. And that's all good. But truly, I love being here. As I've mentioned to many of you, United Lenten Devotions is something that I consider a very important and formative part of my growing up. And, you know, the first time I had a chance to worship in this church was as a child, as part of these services. And I think the chance that we have to do this together is something truly special. You know, a lot of times in our diocese, they talk about the wonderful things happening here and there. And I can say nowhere else are we coming together and worshiping like this. So let's give ourselves a round of applause. So that's awesome. So our theme for United Lenten Devotions this year is following with our presiding bishop, Curry. And we're talking about the way of love. And this way of love has sort of different movements. And our movement today, our focus today, is to pray. And that is a good thing. That is always a very good thing. And we're going to have a chance, as we will in subsequent weeks, to actually talk with each other, connect with each other a little bit. But before that, I want to talk a little bit about our scripture for today, the Exodus passage that we had from about the Israelites going through the Red Sea. Now, you know, that's a story that many of us are familiar with, and yet, it's one of those stories that I think we need to tell again and again and again, because it's absolutely incredible. I mean, imagine if you were there. You know, imagine that you are part of this community of Israelites, right? And you're making your way through the wilderness, and that's a big group. I gotta say that I give Moses a lot of credit. Some of you know that my wife very recently had a baby. And so I'm pretty excited about that, and so now I have two little kids instead of one. And I'll be honest with you, there's the sleep thing, there's everything else, but the part that I'm actually most concerned about is making it through airport security with these little kids, right? And so I think about that, and I think about carrying this and carrying that and make sure you don't forget anything. And then I think about what Moses had to do with, instead of having, you know, a partner and a couple little kids, but Moses had to be carrying a whole people through the wilderness. It makes it not seem so bad. But anyway, so we have this experience. So they're moving through the wilderness, and they're moving slowly because that's what big groups do. And next thing you know, as they approach and they see the sea ahead, then they're already worried. They're already figuring, okay, how are we going to get through this sea? But then they hear the footsteps behind them. And while they're moving slowly and while they're carrying on, you know, those chariots are not moving slowly. And as those horses and as those chariots and everything gets closer, I believe many of them thought that that would be the moment that they would die. But you and I know what happens. Moses raises his arms, and the winds blow, and all of a sudden, the waters form a wall, one on the left and one on the right. And it's absolutely incredible, and they pass through the Red Sea on dry ground. But it's not over. It's not over, because just as they're passing through, Pharaoh's troops decide, hey, if they can pass through, so can we. But as they go in, Moses raises his arms again, the waters come over, and Pharaoh's army is no more. Now, it's an absolutely incredible story. And part of the reason I think we need to focus on it and repeat it and tell ourselves the story again and again, because it reminds us about the nature of God. You see, our God is a God of deliverance. Our God is a God of freedom. You know, it's interesting, because a lot of times, you know, sometimes we can get confused about God. And sometimes people will preach that our God is a God about riches and prosperity. And great, our God, you know, thinks those things can be pretty cool. But nonetheless, you know, the truth is, as we've seen in our scriptures, that our God is a God of freedom. And so what did God do to God's people? God found a way to deliver them from their bondage so that they could be free. And God gave them the freedom to enter into their land and to make lives for themselves. And so I believe that as we think about our relationship with God, both as individuals and as a community, let us remember that our God is a God of freedom. And so how do we live into this? Well, there's something that I like to call the Exodus formula. I call it the Exodus formula because I think it's an opportunity we have to tap into God's power, following the footsteps of our forebears who made that Exodus. And there are five steps this formula. The first step is to pray. It's always the most important step and the most important first step as well. The first step is to pray. The next step is to come together. The next step is to make the choice. The next step is to keep going. And the final step is to give thanks. And so how did this go down with the people of Israel? Well, I'll tell you. You know, when they were in bondage, there's an interesting thing. You know, when God called Moses, God said to Moses, "I've heard the cries of my people." That's a sign that they were praying. That they were praying to God for deliverance. That they were praying to God for freedom. That they were praying to God for an end of their oppression. And so you see, this whole Exodus thing doesn't happen unless they pray. And so we must remember to pray. So what happens next? Well, you know, coming together, you know, it's interesting because, you know, as the story tells us, these people of Israel were a family. They were a family when they arrived in Egypt. They were all the descendants of Jacob. But, you know, what we come to understand is, regardless of how closely or how loosely they were related, as blood, they didn't really act like family for much of that time. The truth of the matter is that many of them came together because of this shared Exodus experience. Many of them decided that they needed to come together to find freedom together. And so we see they prayed and then they came together and became a people. And then they had to make the choice. You know, even as all these plagues and things were going on in Egypt, they still had to make the choice to leave. You know, a lot of us look at the story and say, it must have been easy to decide to leave. But then if we really think about it, it probably wasn't so easy to leave. You have to remember that all of these people and their parents and their grandparents and their parents before them were born in Egypt. Egypt was all they ever knew, and so what Moses was asking these people to do was to leave their home. What Moses was asking them to do was to leave the only home they ever knew. And so they made that choice. They made that difficult choice to leave. And then keep moving. You know, one thing that I always imagine when I imagine this whole story of going through the Red Sea is, you know, there had to be somebody who thought that, whoa, if God is so good to make the water into walls and to allow us to go through, then God could be good enough to send me a chariot of fire to bring me through. And I imagine that there were some folks there who decided, hey, this is wonderful. Let me just sit back and let it all happen. But as you see, the fact of the matter is that, yes, God delivered them, and yes, they had to make that choice, but yes, they also had to keep moving. But they had to keep moving forward so that eventually, God could allow those waters to return. And so it's important that we keep moving. And then finally, it's give thanks. You know, at the end of our reading for today, we had that song of Moses, and it goes on and on. And giving thanks is an important thing. It's an important thing because, you know, obviously, God is very much deserving of our thanks and praise, obviously. And it's also important because it is in the process of giving thanks that we are reminded how great God is, and we are reminded how ready God is to help us again. And so you see, my friends, we see from our spiritual forebears, these people of Israel, that there is a way to tap into that power of deliverance in our God. And that if we, as individuals and as a community, if we do that work to pray, to come together, if we make that difficult choice to move forward and then we keep moving, and then we give thanks to God, I believe we, like these people, will find ourselves delivered. I believe we, like these people, will continue to find and we'll have wonderful stories to tell. So it's my open prayer to all of you that you will continue to have these Exodus experiences in your life. And that you'll continue to have that freedom in your life as a gift from God. Because it is with that freedom that we can go on to do all that God would ask us. Amen.